to Fireside Chats with Tax Goddess Live. I'm super, super excited to be here today with Dave Barnhart, our expert, one of our fantastic experts. So this podcast exists to educate, entertain, and inspire entrepreneurs, business owners, and all the other crazy, fantastic, passionate, self-employed people out there. Today is May 29th, 2018, and I am your tax goddess, Shauna, joining you live from sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. So again, welcome to Tax Goddess Live. Dave, are you ready to do this?
Absolutely.
Yay! Dave is an expert in WordPress, and we're super, super excited to have him with us here today because there's a lot of really scary things out there, and Dave is one of those fantastic people that will just take care of it, which I love, 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 love. So, Dave, one of the most important things that the audience wants when they come to a podcast like ours, why should they stay and listen? Why should they listen to you?
They should listen to me for a couple of reasons. One is that I don't think there's anybody that knows WordPress security like I do. I have competitors, and there's a lot of them. They're basically webmasters, but none of them really have put the emphasis on WordPress security like I do, and some of the emerging WordPress threats. The other thing is that, you know, I'm a small business that's basically, you know, lone wolf. And I talk to people a lot who are trying to escape from Cubicle Nation, and you know, I hopefully can have them benefit from my experience.
Awesome. And we love experience because it's much easier to learn from someone else telling you rather than burning your hand in the fire of being self-employed. Yeah. Finding out the hard way. Love it. Love it. So today we're going to be talking about, I love this title, Dave, absolutely love the title. Yes, the hackers want to own your website. I think this is such a fabulous title. So thank you so much, Dave. So Dave, do you want to give us some statistics? What kinds of things do our listeners, what's going to blow their mind about our topic today?
I will tell you that when I get a new client, 20% of the time, their website's already been hacked. There's already malware in there and they don't even know it. Their website is already owned 20% of the time.
20% is huge. That's massive. And they had no clue at all.
No clue whatsoever.
That, okay. Well, side tangent, this is why I'm really happy that you protect our sites, because I'm pretty sure mine does not at this point. If it's 20%, that's massive. So how would a business owner, I mean, besides hiring an expert like you, how would a business owner have any clue?
So I'll tell you what we do, okay? We essentially run all of your website traffic through a firewall.
Okay.
And, you know, there's some that are really good. There's some that are really, really good and are overkill, but, run your traffic through a firewall and then your entire website gets scanned for that sort of thing every day.
Cool.
So that's what we do. And so the average business owner, you know, there are security plugins and they'll do the scans automatically, or there are sites they can go to that, you know, I'll be happy to talk about that they can go to and manually run the scan. And so, you know, a website owner should probably do that probably once a week to just, you know, check their website. It's, you know, none of us check our blood pressure nearly as often as we should. And it falls into the same category.
And of course, you know, I'm hearing you say they should be checking it once a week, and I'm picturing the laundry list of things that as a business owner you have to do once a week besides this kind of stuff. So, okay, and you know, I've heard these stories, I've heard these horror stories. I mean, you're talking about the hackers owning your site, where all of a sudden one day, you know, you get a phone call from one of your clients saying, so, you know, I've tried to go to the website and I can't pull up the product or I can't pull up the order. And then you go to your website and it has a nice big logo on the front, ransom $5,000 or whatever, if you want to get in.
Yes. Yes. That's okay. A big problem in the healthcare industry now, right now, by the way.
Really? So,
yeah.
And of course, my instant panic when, as soon as you say healthcare is, I mean, that's all your private information. I mean, they're getting that kind of stuff as well.
These things, these ransomware tools are they're very sophisticated. And what normally happens is that there's what's called spear phishing. Me, the hacker, sends you an email that looks to you like it's coming from your boss or somebody. And so therefore you click on the link in that email, and that installs this ransomware on your machine that runs around within seconds, encrypts everything on your machine, and then proceeds to go find all of the other computers on the network and do the same thing to them.
Oh, geez. And I mean, within seconds, so you're talking about, I mean, potentially thousands, hundreds of thousands of machines, depending on how big your organization is, just instantly.
Yes. Okay. Some of the antivirus packages are getting better at detecting those sort of things. Some of the people that do backups, now when they store your backups in the cloud, the cloud will actually sniff the backups, and it can't do it in real time, but it will say, your infection point started at this date and time in this machine, and so then you know to do a restore just before that, and that's invaluable in itself.
Absolutely. But,
yeah, today your best defense against something like that is good backups.
And there we go. And that's been your baseline. And not, we're jumping so far ahead. You're just a fascinating topic here. So
the technology that I use with the firewall for your website is every piece of traffic goes through the firewall and gets sniffed. Okay. And so the hacker never gets to install that ransomware on your website in the first place.
Because there's basically a ding or an alert or something saying, hey, this doesn't smell right. Look at this or do something with it.
Yeah.
Dig it. Oh, this is going to be a fantastic fireside chat today, Dave. We're so excited to have you here. Okay. But before we drill into all of these details, I want to know a little bit about you. Tell me, so like, where were you born? How was life growing up? Hobbies you have? Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. Excuse me. I was born in Long Beach, California in the early 1950s, okay? That was a period of time when Orange County truly was the Golden Orange. It was a wonderful place to live, a wonderful place to grow up, playing on the beach. There was an amusement park on Long Beach Pier with a great big wooden roller coaster, and I'd ride this roller coaster. Knott's Berry Farm, admission was free to Knott's Berry Farm back then. And so I spent many a Sunday in Knott's Berry Farm.
I'm a little jealous. It's certainly not free anymore.
Well, that's because you're not as old as I am.
Oh, you're too sweet.
We lived in Garden Grove. We lived down the street from Disneyland. I watched the Matterhorn being built at Disneyland.
Cool.
Southern California truly was just a great place as a young child.
Sounds amazing. And so you have this fabulous background, and how did you end up, because now you're in Arizona, right?
Yes.
And so how did you end up from California to Arizona?
In the backseat of my parents' Dodge.
So they immigrated here at some point, ended up in Arizona. Yes. Now I know, personally, I happen to know that you've actually lived in all over the world. You've lived in multiple places. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I worked for a company that made communication controller networking devices for the very, very large IBM mainframe networks. And this company signed a distributorship agreement with ITT in Europe in 1985. And they wanted somebody senior and knowledgeable to come over there and just move over there. And so the company asked me if I would. And I thought about it for all of about 4 nanoseconds. And we just packed up lock, stock, and barrel and moved. ITT furnished us a beautiful, very nice two-story stone house in the Greenbelt outside of London. Oh. I had an office in a town that, you know, was there in medieval times.
How cool is that?
Back in medieval times. When the royals would make the trip from Buckingham Palace in London to Windsor Castle, outside of London, this little town was the overnight stopping point. And the pub that I had lunch in every day had a sign up on the wall that says, In 1490, this inn was drunk dried during a game of Hal and Tommy, which was a card game. 1490!
I love it.
Here I am basically an Arizona boy where nothing here is older than a few years, right? And I'm now in a place that you can go and you can see, you know, the old original Roman wall that from 2000 years ago. It was just awesome.
And so how long did you spend overseas?
I was there a year. And I would spend probably 4 days of the week in some Western European country. My passport from that era has no blank pages.
That's awesome.
I would spend the weekend at home in London. And we would go visit the Tower of London or the British Museum or go out to Stonehenge or down to Brighton or something like that.
And what an awesome adventure to be able to go from California, which is definitely its own environment, to Arizona, which is its own environment, to London, which is definitely its own environment. That's and all the foreign countries around there. How cool is that? So what is your favorite place on the planet that you have ever been to?
Oh, boy. You know, it used to be London. It's changed a lot since then. I don't know that it would be my favorite today. I will tell you that I found the Netherlands, the people in the Netherlands, to be very, very friendly and cordial to Americans, to English-speaking people. And so that was a wonderful place to be. Stockholm was, when I was there, it was like every night the elves came out and scrubbed the city clean. And I was there during summer solstice, and that's a very holiday, joyous time.
Yeah.
For the Swedes, and so it was great. I loved being there.
That's so cool. I love it. Okay, and so obviously all of that knowledge and data and people that you've met and cultures and everything else, of course, has now led you, I mean, not led you, but has given you a background perspective on dealing with multiple people, having an open mind, all of these kinds of things.
Yeah, I learned that you know, each nationality there thinks and acts differently. So I can say, well, that's because he's German, or he's Swedish, or he's French, or he's Spanish. In fact, one of the first things I was told when I was there is when you're giving a training class, okay, you may not put the English, the French, and the Germans together in the same class. You could take the French and the Spanish, or the Germans and the Belgians, or the English and the Swedes. You could do that, but you would never put two of the three in the same class.
Why?
Just because of the cultures were so different, they ended up getting these big hairy arguments.
Oh no! Oh no! Well, arguments are never good. That doesn't help. But it's fascinating. Okay, we might have to do a whole other fireside chat just on that. I love it. I love it.
The way an Englishman tells you no is very different from the way a Frenchman tells you no. It's very different from the way a German tells you no.
This is true. My background is German, and certainly, at least in my head, I think I know how we say no, but it's a very good point. Yeah, no.
You say no.
And there we go.
And when the Frenchman says, I agree with you in principle, what he's really saying is he doesn't agree with you at all.
I love it. Okay, so for any of our foreign listeners, I would love to have your feedback on this commentary. So, you know, make sure you're posting comments and stuff, but this is brilliant. This is going to turn into a massive conversation all on its own. But of course, today, I don't want to get so far off topic, but that's awesome. Thank you, Dave. That's so cool. So tell me a little bit about your current hobbies. What do you do for fun these days?
I'm a gourmet chef. That's probably number one.
Ooh.
Dinner is going to be rather mundane Sunday night. It's going to be, it's going to be a homemade rice pilaf with grilled vegetables in it with a sautéed fillet of salmon on top.
And I love how that's the mundane dinner.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I made a dish that's very French. It's from the Normandy region of France. That is a chicken breast that's braised in apple cider and brandy with sautéed apples and a cream sauce.
Oh my God, that sounds I'm drooling a little bit even just
It
thinking
was
about it, Dave.
really, really good. It really was, yeah.
Oh, love it. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so what is the most unusual habit that you have that you absolutely love?
My unusual habit, and you're going to recognize it right away, when somebody asks me how I am, I say, fantastic. And that gets a double take from the person I'm talking to. I get a smile. It puts them in a good mood. And it reminds me that things are going really well.
I
It
love
was
it.
something that I had to force myself to do. I had this epiphany many years ago that my attitude, how I feel, I can choose that. And so therefore I choose to be fantastic. And so I had to break the habit of automatically answering pretty good and develop the habit of automatically answering fantastic.
That's and how long did it take you to break the habit to get into the new habit?
3 or 4 months.
Okay. I mean, that's not that bad. That's
Yeah.
actually pretty good. 3, 4 months, and then for the rest of your life, you're automatically fantastic. I think that sounds really good.
And you know what I do is I'll say that, in the grocery store, and the cashier will, give me a double take, and I'll say, well, when you get to my age, any more you can get out of bed without the help of a defibrillator is already a fantastic.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, let's see. Next best question. When you think of being successful, what do you think makes someone successful?
Boy, it's not worrying about the success. It's not wor it's knowing, it's inside knowing that this fuzzy gray area out here, I don't know how I'm going to solve it. I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but I know that I'll get through it. And I think it's that mental attitude really defines success.
And you gave me this awesome quote, which honestly I have never ever heard before. This, your favorite entrepreneurship quote, "Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not, nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not, unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent." And by Calvin Coolidge, right?
Yes.
And I mean, that's coming through clear as a bell here. I'm listening to you making a habit of calling yourself, fantastic. I am fantastic. This is that persistence really driving home. So do you believe persistence is the key factor? Like, that's what you have to do?
Absolutely.
Love it.
Absolutely. The persistence, not giving up. I've run into two kinds of people in my life. There's the kind of people that get an idea, and it's a great idea for a business. But they'll start down the path and it gets hard. And so they give that idea up and they go to something else. Okay? And for them, the coming up with the idea is easy, but sticking with it's hard. And then there's the other, which I'll admit I am, and that is coming up with the idea is hard, but the sticking, so we tend to stick with it since it's so hard to come up with a new idea. And I find that there are those two kinds of people. And unfortunately, the first group, they go from idea to idea to idea and they never achieve success.
And there you go. And there you go. I love it. And I personally very much agree with you. I find that people that are persistent in what they do, and hopefully they at some point they realize whether the idea is good or not, right? So they stop at some
Yes.
point. But if they found a good idea, if they created a good idea, then they just have at it
Well,
over and over and over again.
see, you and I are both German. And that's truly that persistence is part of the German psyche. It's built into us.
And there you go. All right. Well, I think that also might lead to a few comments because I'm pretty sure there's persistent people all over, but I will agree with you because you're right. I am German too.
Oh,
I love it.
there's stories I could tell you. We won't go there, but there's stories about the persistence and stuff I could tell you that, but we won't go there.
Woo! Okay, well, if anybody wants to hear those stories, make sure you make comments and we'll film another one. Dave, you're gonna have like six fireside chats at some point. Here we go. I love it. I love stories. All right, fantastic. So let's switch, now that you've given us some awesome background here and a little bit of get to know you, let's switch into some of the business stuff. So obviously you're an expert in the website and the security and all these kinds of things. So tell us from your perspective, what do you do and why do you do it?
Okay. I used to build websites. I still occasionally do, but if a stranger comes up to me and says, can you build me a website? I will actually, shuffle that off to one of my referral partners who's very, very good at it and enjoys it more than I do. But I used to build websites, and what I would do is I would tell these website owners, I'm going to build this website for you, and I'm going to teach you how to maintain it. And I found that having this sense of control was very, very important to them. So I would teach them how to maintain it. And I have a client. She's very high profile, very successful, and she's got a paid content area on her website and so on. And so I taught her all of this, and she called me back a week later and she says, "Dave, this is too much. I can't run my business and take care of my website. Can I pay you to do it for me?" And so we agreed on a price. She became client number one. A few months later, client number two came along, same sort of story. And about was time of client number three or four, I says, "Holy cow, this is a business." And so I spent a lot of time looking at it. I discovered, yes, it's a growing market. And I had to decide where I was going to place myself in that. And so essentially, my service is a premium service at a premium price. It's not, it's, I tell people, it's not like walking up to the front desk at Motel 6. It's like walking up to the concierge at the Fairmont Hotel on Nob Hill in San Francisco.
And there we
It's a
go.
whole different class of service that you're going to get. And so that's kind of where I started. I rattled around for about a month before I had a eureka on the name. So, yes.
And so what is the technical name?
Website overwatch.com.
Woo, which very clearly describes what it is you're doing. And I think, you talked about having a premium product at a premium price, but for those people that understand the value of what it is that you do for them, like for example, you said your first client, she's like, "Yep, that's great. You do a ton of stuff. I do not have time to manage this, take care of it, watch it, and do it properly," right? And understand to do it properly. It's not really, I mean, it's a premium service for sure, but it's not really a premium price because you're allowing that business owner to go out and focus on what she needs to do to make her money, to live her life, and to be happy and to know that she's well covered, right? That everything is handled.
Yes, I but you know, I the majority of people that I run into in my day-to-day life, they're just a little business owner, and to them, spending $30 a month on their website is a lot of money. And so for that group of people, I want them to know, no, this is a premium service at a premium price.
And so this brings up a good point. So in today's session, then let's make sure that we're covering both sides of that. We're gonna, and I know you've already got pre-planned some of these awesome tidbits of things that the smaller, the micro businesses can use and can implement to go look at protecting their site and that kind of thing. So awesome. Okay. All right. So what else? Okay. What are the top three skills that someone needs to be successful as an entrepreneur?
Ooh, did I tell you that at some point in time?
You did. And we already covered one of them for sure, which was perseverance, persistence, this type of thing. So what else do you think? What is your gut, your instant reaction to top three skills to be successful as an entrepreneur?
I think the top three skills, the one is the persistence. One is the ability to think like a marketer. That so many people, they've spent their whole lives in what I call cubicle nation, where the work just comes to them, It plops into their in basket, and oh, that's the next thing I have to do. And they've never really given a thought to how do I get the business? I run into so many people who say, "All right, I've got this new business. I want you to build me a website." And I say, "Okay, that's fine, but the website is like a pile of brochures laying on the table. How are you going to get eyeballs in front of that website? The right eyeballs in front of that website, the ones who want and need your product. And how are you going to articulate that so that they go, I need that?"
Okay.
Okay.
I love it. And how, what is your top tip on somebody who's always been in Cubicle Nation, right? And they're just starting a business. What do you think is the first thing that they should look at or think about or do to start switching into that marketer mindset?
So spend a lot of time thinking about this question. What problem do I solve for my customers? And can I articulate it in their words, not yours?
In their words, not yours. Can you give me an example of like a case that you've seen?
Yes. I worked with a gentleman a while back who specializes in providing IT equipment software for doctor's offices. Okay. And his whole thing was the, cost to own versus, leasing from me and so on and so forth. And by the time we were done, he understood that his real value was that he made the whole HIPAA compliance problem and the regulatory problems go away. That was his real value.
Versus originally he was coming into it thinking I can save you money on leasing versus buying versus whatever. That's a massive swing. And so how did you help him figure that out? Is that okay. So not only do we have this genius security mind, we also have this fabulous consulting mind kind of thing in here.
Yeah, but I don't do much of that.
There we go.
The security stuff is far more interesting to me. The website maintenance is far more interesting to me.
And you got to go with your passion. I
That's right.
mean, yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Love it.
One of the things that I see is that with the ubiquity of high-speed broadband, we all look at a bazillion websites, and people will look at a website and they'll go, "Ooh, I want mine to look just like that." What they don't realize is that website that they're looking at, that they're going ooh over, maybe cost $20,000, and they've got $2,000.
Or they're thinking that $30 a month is too expensive at that point.
Yeah, so that's that, in building websites for people, that's one of the issues that I found.
And there we go. So helping them understand really, like, here's your budget and what can you do with that amount of money? What can we really get you? Cool.
They'll go to somebody who is a website builder, and the website builder thinks that they're building a website, but the person, the business owner, thinks they're buying magic beans. You remember the Jack and the Beanstalk story? I got these beans, and they're gonna it's gonna they're I just gonna throw them out the window. They're gonna make me rich. I don't know exactly how that's gonna happen, but the beans are gonna make me rich. And so they think that the website's gonna make them rich.
And I have seen it over and over and over again, and I agree with you. And that goes back to marketing mindset and perseverance, right? Figure out how is this thing that you created going to make you any money? And you better be able to switch it or move it or change it to make it do that. So you talked about, website maintenance is one of the things. So if somebody is one of the things you do, so if somebody comes to you with websites, when I hear website maintenance, to me that means you have a thing, right? You already have a website and I'm maintaining it, protecting it, securing it. And you talked about referral partners. So, how important is it to have these referral partners in your business, in any business? Because website maintenance to me sounds like I'm not changing anything. I am maintaining what you have. Do I understand that right?
Yes, but there's a high degree of trust between myself and my client. I have the keys to the kingdom, access to their website. They have to trust me. Okay. I'll tell you a story. She's a client of mine, and she says, and this is almost a direct quote. She says, "I view my website as an employee. And I'm really happy with my employee because my employee generates sales for me. But before you came along, I got hacked 3 times. Now, because you're here, I can sleep at night knowing my website's not going to get hacked and my employee can do its job."
Love it.
And so there's this huge amount of trust between her and I that, that she's able to sleep at night because I'm taking care of everything. And so my referral partners have to trust me that I'm going to take care of this person who trusts them. And so they're going to say to this person, "Trust me, this thing, this problem you have, this is the guy you need to go talk to." So that trust is probably the most important part.
And there we go. Love it. Love it. Okay. Well, cool. So let's jump into the main, let's jump into the meat. I love it. Let's jump into the meat. So in your area, right, in your area of expertise, what is it that you wish that entrepreneurs and business owners knew more about?
Well, I wish they knew more about marketing. I wish they understood that, a few years ago, we didn't have all these hackers. And you could just build a WordPress website and run off and leave it, and there it would be. And you can't do that today for a multitude of reasons. One, Google likes to see new, fresh content and updates. So you need to be in there doing things and changing things and adding blog posts and so on and so forth. And the hackers are looking for the low-hanging fruit. They're looking for a copy of WordPress that's a year out of date, and so there are these known vulnerabilities in here that I can go attack, and so on and so forth. So those are some of the things that I wish they understood better.
Okay. All right. Dig it. Why do you think, because for example, for me, right, I read article after Facebook post, after LinkedIn, after news stories on the TV, on the radio, this got hacked, your credit card got hacked, Home Depot, Target, like massive corporations are being hacked for your information. Why do you think that business owners just kind of ignore it or maybe don't focus on it?
I think it's two things. One, it's whistling past the graveyard.
Tell me what that means. I don't know what that means.
Whistling past the graveyard.
Yeah.
I know there's ghosts in the graveyard, and I'm just going to pretend that they're not here and whistle da-dee-da as I walk past this graveyard. The other thing I think is most business owners are so busy just running their business that they don't have the time to spend the time with their website, keeping up to date, so on and so forth. There are emerging threats against your website that I keep up with, and the average business owner just doesn't have the time to do that. That's just like you, Shauna. You take care of my taxes. I don't worry about what the new tax laws are because I know you've got me covered.
Makes total sense. Makes total sense. So again, having an expert that knows in your particular arena, like I can see, for example, someone that uses their website. Earlier, you were talking about an example of someone who uses their website as a salesperson, right? So maybe they have a shopping cart or whatever. Sometimes, somehow they have some way to sell on their website versus I've seen in a lot of cases, website is like a single page. It's almost like a digital business card, So it's very clear to me that someone who actually sells something or has secure access areas, like you were talking about a membership site on their site, definitely needs a service like yours to protect that asset. Is it important for somebody who just has a website that's like a calling card, they're not really being very active on it? What kind of security things do those people need to be looking at?
Have you ever gone to a website, typed it into your browser, and this big red screen comes up that says, there's stuff on here and I don't think you should go there?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
Okay. Typically when that happens, those are part of a phishing attack. I'm sure you get emails that look like they're from your bank. And boy, there's this button down here that it wants you to click on.
The new email scams from the IRS. Click on this link. Yeah. Massive. Yeah.
But if you check, the link that's behind that button doesn't go to the IRS or your bank. It goes to some poor business owner's website, isn't even aware he's been hacked and there's phishing code in there. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, Gracie's Lawn Care, I'm making this up. Gracie's Lawn Care has been hacked. And one of two things will happen. Either that piece, and it's usually one line of code buried down in there, and it's in there and it may be there for years and they don't even know it because it only gets activated under certain circumstances. Or what happens is that somehow Google has detected that and the site's been blacklisted and your customers go there to your website to find out what your business hours are, refresh the memory of your address, and they get this big red warning. And so suddenly a great big hammer has come down and smashed the trust between you and your customer or your client.
And there you go. I mean, that's massive. That's massive. So even the small little micro business owner who literally just has one page with their business contact, you know, hours and contact information, whatever, that makes complete sense. So there, you definitely need to at least double check or be protected or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So we talked about, you know, your particular services are for the big, like they have all these things that they need to match. How does a little business owner like that, how do they go about protecting their stuff? What are the tools they should be looking at?
Well, my clients cover the whole range. One of my clients is the largest importer of foreign car parts in the country.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. At the other end of the range, I have a client who owns a commercial janitorial service.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, and so I really have clients all across. I have a client who's in the Inc. 500. So the whole spectrum of people and businesses that I have, and all of those I protect with the same tools. But, you know, if someone were to come to me and, you know, want advice on, you know, how they can protect their little website, they can't afford Dave Barnhart's service, I would say, okay, the first thing that you want to do is if you have a username of admin, you want to get rid of that. Once upon a time, when you installed WordPress, that was the default administrative user. And so there's all of the hacker bot tools go check for that, okay? Because if it's in there, that means that it's cut the difficulty of the brute force to hack into your website in half. I don't have to guess the username and the password, just the password, if I know the username of admin is in use, for example, okay? The next thing that you really, really, really want to do is make sure that you're taking daily backups. And the best place to do that is at your web hosting company. Most of them offer it. Some offer it for free, and they do it nightly. Others will charge you a little bit extra, but that is absolutely the best place to do that. That way it's set and forget and it occurs. On top of that, I use a plugin called Updraft Plus that no matter what the web hosting company does, this plugin also takes the backups nightly, stores them in offsite in two separate clouds. And so, you know, I use that tool as kind of, you know, belt and suspenders approach to make sure that we really, really do have backups. The next thing that you should do is use some sort of firewall security thingy. At the low end, there's a plugin called WordFence.
Okay.
That I've tried, I've used. I think it's very good. If you were going to go a step up from that, you know, use the premium version of WordFence. I think it's about $100 a year.
Which is not bad. I mean, if that's protecting your site, right, from all these bad, this 20% hacker, that's not bad, right, at all.
Okay. You know, the tool that I use is a cloud-based firewall called from a company called Sucuri, S-U-C-U-R-I. It is a best-in-class web application firewall. I can sleep at night knowing, Shauna, that your website's, you know, all that traffic is run through the security firewall, and and it has a scanner so that, you know, automatically every day all the files on your website get scanned and sniffed for, you know, bad things in them, so on and so forth. There are some really, really high end tools that are probably overkill. Akamai is one of them, but that's, you know, that's far beyond what you know most users, even high end users, would need.
Okay, so I mean, as usual, with almost any industry, there's so much knowledge, right? I mean, this is how we ended up all specializing in things, right? Why, yeah, I'm in tax, yeah, and you're in security. And so do you have like a basic checklist or something, maybe, like, you know, if you're going to attempt to do this quest on your own, Zelda, here are, yeah, the things that you need to do every day.
Yeah, I'll send you a PDF.
Cool.
And the way it is, okay, here's the bare minimum that you should do. And it's like, okay, if you're doing that, and you want to go the next step, you should do this. And then if you're really serious, you should probably also do these things.
Perfect. 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 And we'll make sure that we get everybody's contact information and all of that for anyone that wants that PDF so that we can get you guys that information. So, awesome. Thank you so much for being willing to share that with us, Dave. We really, really appreciate that for our listeners out there. So, awesome. Okay. So, you know, we've gone over your personal world and your business world and your super technical, half gibberish to me world. What do you think is the, now that we've gone through all of that, what is the last thing that you want our listeners to walk away with today?
I want them to walk away with the fact that it's no longer, you know, 2005. In a time when we could build a WordPress site and then leave it and never worry about it again. WordPress, because, not because there's a problem with WordPress, it's because it is so widely used, it is the low-hanging fruit for the hackers. They're saying, if I'm gonna expend energy on a tool to hack websites, to look for vulnerabilities in websites, I'm going to get the most bang for my buck. I'm going to cover the most websites out there simply by focusing on WordPress. And so we need, just like I think with our personal computer security, we are all more mindful of that now than we were 10 years ago. We all need to be more mindful of our website security as well.
There we go. It kind of almost feels like a forgotten asset sometimes. You know, my brain keeps going back to that story about your client that said, this is one of my employees. This website is one of my employees. Yes. And how important that is. So
yes.
Cool. Okay. So Dave, how can the listeners find you out there? The website, telephone, how do they find you?
The best way is to go to websiteoverwatch.com.
Okay.
My telephone number is area code 602-647-7847, but that and my email address are on the website.
Perfect. Perfect. So the website again, say it again.
Websiteoverwatch.com.
Perfect. Perfect. And of course, guys, we will be putting links. You'll have all that data in actual writing. Super easy to click on. And so, you know, Fireside Chat listeners, if you enjoyed today's chat as much as I did, please show Dave your appreciation and some love. Share today's show with a friend who appreciates being a passionate business owner and entrepreneur, generally fantastic person, and somebody that maybe doesn't understand that their website really is a serious asset that they need to look at and protect. Like, I mean, if you have a friend, if you're, you know, in a mastermind group with other business owners, and they haven't heard the show, get them the show, right? Part of the whole reason that we do this for you guys, right? Educate, entertain, and inspire. And certainly I got a lot of education out of today. So, you know, Dave, thank you so much for joining us. It's been absolutely amazing chatting with you.
You're welcome. Glad to do it. It was fun.
Yay. So everyone, again, thanks so much for listening to Fireside Chats with Tax Goddess Live. We are going to be back again next month on June 26th, but don't fret. Until then, you can always find us on podcast site like Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, of course, iTunes. While you're there, listen to the show, rate us, love on us a little bit. We'd love to share the show with the whole world, right? We're trying to get this information out to business owners across the world. Websites are a worldwide thing, right? So let's get protection on websites out there for Dave and show Dave some love. So let us know what you think about the show. As usual, you can always reach out to me on Twitter at Tax Goddess. And of course, our producers, Tax Goddess Live at taxgoddess.com. We'd love to have ideas for new show topics, anything you want us to cover, any experts that you want us to bring on. And in the meantime, hope you guys are having a great day and we'll talk to you later. So thanks so much, everyone. Bye.